Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This is the day that our Lord hath made. We shall do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Morning Motivation Broadcast. 15 minutes of starting your day off right with hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tackling life's everyday issues, and I got a doozy for you today with biblical perspective, including a new topic, live prayer and assigning a daily task. Well, our topic for this morning is, are you the I in racist? Are you the I, in other words, the letter I, in racist, R-A-C-I-S-T? And our scripture for today comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. While you are getting your Bibles ready, let me go ahead and give you our announcements. Number one, set your alarms to tune in live to Morning Motivation with me, Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, by calling 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180. But if you missed this broadcast live, I always leave the recording, which is your hot plate, on the stove for you on my website after 8 a.m. Eastern. The website is feelthefire.com. That is F-E-E-L, feel, letter D, not T-H-E, but letter D, fire.com. And you can also hear the broadcast posted after 8 by following me on Facebook at Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I Williams. And finally, you asked for it, so I got it for you. You guys are really pushing me in the technological department. So we now have a new way that you can follow the show and receive the broadcast straight to your phone each day after 8 a.m., and that is by you texting the letters MMB, Mike Bravo, MMB, which stands for Morning Motivation Broadcast, to 797979. So if you text that today, then starting in the morning, every day, Monday through Friday, you will receive a text right to your phone with the day's broadcast and a link for you to listen right then and there. You'll also be able to share that text with others, which helps us to expand the kingdom of the Lord. So tune in live at 6:30 by calling 323-870-4180 or get your plate from the stove after 8 a.m. on my website, feeldefire.com. by following me on Facebook at Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I, or by subscribing by texting the letters MMB for Morning Motivation Broadcast to the numbers 797979. So there's no two in the text. Just text the letters MMB for Morning Motivation Broadcast to the number 797979. And then finally, for our announcements, because I want to get into this word, make sure that you order my new book. It is on our website at feeldefire.com. And this Saturday, it will be in all of the major outlets as well. So I'll give you further information about that. And then don't forget, we're coming back up to our Triple Threat Tuesdays, which begins again in September, because my law office's show of You Be the Jury, where you get to call in live and voice your opinions and deliberate on air with other callers
Nationwide, also known as Girard's, resumes the first Tuesday in September, which will be generally after Labor Day at 7 p.m. So I'll give you more information about that each Tuesday coming up. And remember, that's a powerful show. Our very last show dealt with how you were grading the president at that particular time. And you can go and hear that show on my law office website at callrossiwilliams.com. All viewpoints are welcome, and they really get into it. Well, by now, you should have your Bibles ready. Let's get into this word. I'm going to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm reading from the KJV. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Did you hear that? All scripture is given by God. And what that word is telling us is that it has application for everything. And I'm going to go ahead and read the 17th verse. That the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. In other words, equipped to do the will of the Lord. What is our topic for this morning? Come on and say it with me wherever you are. Are you the I in racist? And let's make that personal. Repeat after me. Am I the I in racist? I want you to let that sink in for a minute, because the lines are muted. And if you're going to be listening to this later, you can answer that question about yourself better than anyone else can. And usually I don't even deal with this stuff on Morning Motivation, but I have to, because our nation is dealing with it and people need answers. And as I just read to you in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, if nobody else has answers, the church should always have answers, because the Bible is never outdated. Though written years, decades, centuries ago, it is never a relic, and its power and application is never a moot point. Our nation is dealing with the horrific aftermath of the racial clash that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia, where a driver drove through a crowd of counter protesters, killing one lady and injuring over 15 people. Also, two police officers died during this situation. This happened as part of the unexpected, yet some say foreseeable, unfolding of events at a Unite the Right rally by the alt-right, when protesters and counter-protesters clashed several times, escalating from verbal attacks to physical assaults, even actual criminal battery, disorderly conduct, and so many other things. Although the police were present, they were unable to control the melee. Now, although this situation no longer exists, everyone is looking for someone to blame. The Democrats blame Republicans, and Republicans blame Democrats. Blacks blame whites, and whites blame blacks. Everyone is blaming the police, citing lack of adequate preparation and on-site intervention. Some blame the president, and the president blames others. Some blacks cite, quote, white privilege, unquote, as the problem. And some whites cite, quote, Black Lives Matter terrorism, unquote, as the issue. People are now even outing the alt-right protesters on Twitter, demanding their jobs, expulsion from school, and so forth. But the problem that I have here, as an evangelist and a Christian, is that the church is nowhere to be found in responding, because even some of its members have allowed themselves to be caught in the argument of the fray, the adrenaline of the fight. And in some issues, the church can't answer, because we are the problem. Yes, the closet racists who sit in the pews every Sunday smiling at one another but can't even stand the sight of each other. This includes in multiracial churches. Everybody wants somebody to blame, and everyone wants someone to give some answers. Well, beware, because I got some answers for you today, and you might not like it. But this is part of empowering you and empowering me by motivating us through the Word of God. So I got some right now relevant hot breakfast for your soul today. You ready? Buckle up and let's go. I want to start, because we only have but 15 minutes, by defining racism. According to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster, racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's race is superior, or the belief that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially so as to distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races, R-A-C-E-S. Now, I want to talk about that for a second, because part of the issue we see here is that a lot of times what I hear is that only white people can be racist, but that other nationalities and ethnicities cannot be racist because we or they are not in positions of power. I didn't see anywhere in the dictionary where it said that you had to be in a position of power to be racist. Now, from a sociological standpoint, a lot of sociologists will say that the effects of racism will be distributed in a way of inequality, because usually the people who have the most power to affect the race that they feel is inferior will be the people in the position of power. And with that, I can agree. However, if I just deal with what we've seen in the dictionary, or I've read in the dictionary today, what I can truly say is that any person can have a prejudice or discriminate or antagonize against another just based on their race. And that's part of the issue that we're seeing here today. Whether I am the person who believes that I'm part of the superior race, or whether I am the person who is antagonistic towards or discriminating against another race because I believe that they believe they are the superior race, and citing everything that any person of that race does or says to me as part of their privilege, or they don't understand because of their privilege, or unwilling to have reasonable intellectual dialogue or discourse because they can't relate because of their privilege, I am part of the problem. So whether I'm the white person, the black person, the Asian problem, or the Asian person, I'm sorry, who believes I'm inferior, or believes that everyone of the race I feel that perceives themselves as superior has no right to speak to me or cannot understand, or that they're all racist, I am still part of the problem. Oh, yeah, that's tight but right, isn't it? And we saw that in Charlottesville. People who cannot have intellectual discussion on all sides. And yeah, I know some of you listening are getting mad because you just wanted me to deal with the white people, but I can't just deal with the white people because God's word is applicable for every person, every nationality, every ethnicity. When we get to the point, and when I say we, I don't mean black people, I mean any people that we don't know how to disagree respectfully. When we get to the point where we don't even know how to let others march or protest without fighting. Because you see, dealing with civil liberties is part of my law practice. And there will be many people that will march about things that I don't support. They will march for rights I don't support. They'll march for their views I don't support. But I understand that they have the right to have the march. And so probably for me, I'm not even going to show up. Because why give credence to something I don't support or believe in by showing up to argue, to bring the media there, to give even more attention to it? If no one shows up to counter-protest, if no one shows up to fight with the people that you don't believe in their viewpoints, and I'm not talking about just the alt-right, I'm saying for anything, it won't get all of the attention. What draws the ongoing attention is when the fights start. But I do realize that just as any group has a right to march, I have a right to be there to counter-protest. But what neither of us have the right to do legally is to assault or batter one another. Now, let's move on to this word because I got to give you these answers here. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says, if a man says, I love God, and I'm reading you from King James Amplified Version. If a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? You see, you can love me, and I can love you, and we not like one another, not want to associate with one another for going out to eat, or, you know, not wanting to sit down and just be each other's best friends, right? Because not only legally do we have the right of association, but as Christians, requiring us to love one another doesn't mean that I like everything that someone else does or stands for, and you might not like everything I do or stand for. But what we must do is love one another. And that love, if it's really there, should cause us to be cognizant of how we disagree with one another. It is possible to disagree with people, I mean passionately, aggressively, defend your point and your stance without killing or assassinating their character or the person. As attorneys, we do it every day. People say, how can you go into court and you defend your client and you do all of that stuff you do, and then you see attorneys, those same attorneys, going to lunch later on or shaking hands? Because the fight was about the issue. The fight was about the merits or lack of merits of the issue, not to kill the other person. We would do well to learn that. So that even as Christians, we won't get ourselves caught up in the fray to the point where we can't be effective witnesses. We can't be those who love our brothers and sisters so that we are not closet racist, closet prejudice, closet antagonistic toward one another, sitting in church in Bible study tonight or tomorrow or Thursday, whatever night your church has it. And you're mad because look at those Black Lives Matter folks. Or you're mad because look at those white privileged folks. It ought not to be so. Are you the I in racist? I'll even go further. Are you the letter I in intolerance? Are you the letter Y in the battery? Are you everything but what you should be? The L-O-V-E in love. Hallelujah. Now understand. And I'm not saying that we can't have differing viewpoints. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Even in the book of John 2:15, we find where Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple when he saw them selling merchandise in God's house. And the Bible says in that verse that he made the whip out of cords. He created it. And that he overturned the tables. That was Jesus. That's what the word said in John 2:15. And told them, you've made my father's house a house of money changers or a marketplace. Get out of here. So, yes, there is a thing as righteous anger. And Ecclesiastes teaches us there's a time to be silent, but there is a time to speak. There is a time for peace. There is a time to fight. But don't let it be you in the church out there fighting, spitting on one another, arguing, calling each other names. How can people come to us for resolution when we don't even know how to disagree? We've almost run out of time. Give me a few more minutes because this is powerfully tight but right today. I'm addressing things the church ought to be addressing. Titus 3:9 tells us to avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law and things that have no merit because they are unprofitable and useless and they do nothing but gender strife. Have you ever heard that saying that never argue with a fool because the bystanders can't tell which is which? This is what happens sometimes when you go out to protest or be a counter-protester. You end up arguing with people to the point where nobody can tell who's right, and definitely not which ones are the Christians in the argument. Because before you know it, you've gotten yourself caught up in something that's much bigger than you. This is why I say to myself and to my son, I don't go out and get involved in every march. I don't get involved in every argument. I want to know who's hosting it. What is the purpose of it? What is going to be your methodology? Because the great, late Dr. MLK and all of the people who supported him, which make sure you remember, there weren't just black people. There were white people, Asian people, all kinds of people out there supporting him. They understood that in order to win the war, they had to be careful of how they fought each battle. I could not have done what they did. I could not have been attacked by dogs and beaten by police and stand there. I honor all of those people who have passed away and those who are still alive today. It is because of you that I am who I am. And I praise you for it. I couldn't have done it. I could not have done it. And I'm always aware of that. When I see marches and protests, what are you going out there for? I have to be cognizant of my witness as a Christian, because that's who I am. An attorney is what I do, but a Christian is who I am. I got to be cognizant that after this is over, I might have to pray for people that I don't agree with. Jesus, I might have to lay hands on folks that I don't agree with. I might have to intercede for families who lost people in the fight that I didn't even agree with. So if I forget that, Jesus, and become the letter I in racist, if I become the letter I in intolerance, to where I am intolerant of anyone else's views who disagree with mine. You see, I hear that word thrown around a lot by people who are intolerant themselves. They say you're intolerant because you don't believe in what I believe in. You don't believe in my lifestyle. But then they will demand, and I'm not talking about just one group, but then they will demand that you lose your business or your livelihood or be expelled because you don't agree with them. So how can an intolerant person who's intolerant of everyone who doesn't agree with them call someone else intolerant? You see where this mess is going? Where are you, Christians? You're out there fighting. You're the letter Y in battery, the criminal battery. You're the letter O in obstruction of justice. You're the letter D in disorderly conduct. This ought not be named among us. Hallelujah. Our time is run. I got to go into prayer and give you your task for today. I hope the Lord lets me continue with this week, because it makes no sense that churches won't deal with racism. You got to deal with it, because iron sharpens iron. And we have an answer for this. The answer is Jesus. The answer is loving God. The answer is loving our fellow men and telling people that love does not require you to agree all the time, but it does require you to disagree respectfully. Dear Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus. This is the day that you've made. We're still rejoicing because, Father, you're getting all in our stuff about the lives that we are leading, the hypocrites that we are, sitting in church, smiling at one another while we can't even stand each other. It ought not be named among us. How can we say we love you? How are we shouting, dancing, tithing, speaking in tongues, singing A and B selections, crying, waving our hands while we hate our brothers and sisters whom we see every day, but still saying we love God? We are hypocritical. And we repent of that this morning. We ask forgiveness, God. Clean up our racism. Clean up our hatred of one another. Clean up our feelings of superiority based on race. Clean up our antagonism toward others based on race. Clean up our discrimination toward each other based on race. Clean up our desires to take people's jobs and livelihoods, want them expelled from school. Clean up our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. Give us a heart like yours that will stand with righteous anger and righteous indignation at injustice, that is not afraid to speak up
and to toe the line to fight the fight, but to always fight cognizant of who we are as Christians. That our fight addresses the issues. It assassinates the issues. It wins unanimous verdicts on the issues, but does not seek to kill the person or the opposing party. Help us to be cognizant of what we're tweeting about one another, posting on social media about one another, going to folks' businesses, setting their businesses on fire. I'm not talking about one race of people, one group of people. I'm talking about all of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, Father, I come asking for the forgiveness of all of our sins. I come in agreement with everyone listening for peace, peace, peace. Peace, 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 a godly peace in our nation. I pray for our leaders everywhere, in a small and great, in every side of politics. I pray for our leaders today. I pray for the police. I pray for the families of the people who were injured. I pray for the families of those who passed away. I pray for the protesters and the counter-protesters. I pray for all of us. Jesus. Help us not to just have foolish arguments, but help us to love one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Come on, I got to close it. Let me give you your task for today. Before I do, everyone just please repeat after me. Say, I declare godly peace on our nation right now. Say it again. I declare godly peace on our nation right now. And say this. I declare that I will not be part of the problem, the solution. Say it again. I declare that I will not be part of the problem, but of the solution. Come on and magnify the Lord as I give you our task for today. Our topic this morning is, are you the letter I in racist? I'm asking you, what would Jesus say about this? What would he do? Remove your hood of racism, whatever it is. I'm not just talking about KKK and alt-right. I'm talking about everyone who is discriminating against another person just based on their race. Your task for today is to bring peace. Whenever someone brings this situation up, don't you get caught in the fray, but say, well, I am here to bring peace. Would you like to pray about it? I declare peace. All right, I'll see you in the morning for another powerful broadcast at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. Remember to text MMB to 797979. Follow me on Facebook at Rocky Williams. Share this today with at least 2 people. We need to bring peace. I love you. Intolerance, the Y of battery, the D of disorderly conduct, nor the H of hate. You can disagree respectfully. Remember, there were so many other announcements about my upcoming Speak Ministry at the Women's Conference. My book, you can order on my website at fieldthefire.com. But everything that I said, please go to the website. All the information to call in, to text, everything that you need is on the website, fieldthefire.com. FEEL letter D fire.com. Please bring peace today. I'll see you in the morning.